Titus 3, verses 3 through 8, these are God's words. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, where we see in verse 3, how great and complete our sinfulness once was, sinfulness within ourselves, foolish, deceived, serving our own desires, sinfulness against God, of course, disobedient, and being deceived is also sin against God, not seeing him or his truth rightly, and serving our own desires, lusts and pleasures, our desires and motivations, rather than serving him. And sinning, of course, not only against ourselves and against God, but against others, living in malice and envy. Malice is when you desire ill for others. Envy is when you are bothered that good can come to others. Hateful and hating one another, hating, being hated and hating. And so, fully sinful, or as we say, totally depraved. And yet, we're saved not by works of righteousness, which we have done, verse 5, but we're saved when God counts us righteous by grace, verse 7. He counts us righteous by grace, since it's not by our works, but it's by the Lord Jesus and his works. When Jesus appears and when Jesus obeys in our place, it's not just that the Son of God appears, although he does. It's not just that the righteousness of God appears, although it does. But especially is the kindness and love of God, our Savior, verse 4, towards such sinners as we are. Verse 3. And this appearing of God comes in human history, when the Lord Jesus enters the world and lives righteously, dies atoningly for us. But this love and kindness of God appears not only in human history, but in the life and mind and heart of each believer, as God, by his Spirit, renews us in order that we are able to see and acknowledge and respond to Christ, to see and acknowledge and respond to God in Christ, so that he not only renews us, but he also washes us in that renewal, bringing us to faith, making us to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus. And so there's this work of the Holy Spirit that takes place. Again, you see this triune description of our salvation. It is the love of God towards man that appears in the Lord Jesus, who is our Savior, God our Savior. Verse 4 is also Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 6, clearly stating that Jesus is God. It is from God, from Jesus Christ, that we receive the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. this triune work of salvation by God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, so that we receive the Spirit through Christ who unites us to Christ, so that not only are we justified by grace, but since we're justified by grace, since our being made right with God comes by being joined to Jesus, all of the benefits of being joined to Jesus come to us. Therefore, not only justification, verse 7, but also adoption and inheritance. Second half of verse 7. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And between the one, when we are justified and adopted, and the other, when we come into the inheritance of that eternal life for which we hope, there is the work of sanctification. Those who have believed in God then, verse 8, they have believed into a Christ who has made all the difference in their standing with God. Now, instead of those who are under God's wrath, they are righteous before God. Those who are guilty before God are righteous before God. Jesus has made all the difference in their future condition. Rather than perishing in their sin, they will come into the full enjoyment of their inheritance, the eternal life in God. But in between, those who have believed in God, verse 8, find that Jesus continues to make, or in the in-between time also makes, all the difference. They are careful to maintain good works. And not just good works then for themselves, but good works that bring benefits to others. And particularly, the preaching of this is what is profitable. Remember, there are those in Crete at this time who do a lot of theological talking, but it doesn't produce godliness. Why doesn't it produce godliness? It doesn't produce godliness because it is not coming from and in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit. And Jesus produces godliness. And so as we preach justification by grace alone through faith alone, as we preach adoption and the certainty of future blessedness, so that we don't see our good works as earning either of these things, either right standing with God or our future blessedness yet, we also preach that Jesus makes all the difference in a believer's life, and all believers should be careful to maintain good works. And this is something that Titus and the elders whom he is to be appointing in Crete must affirm continually, this faithful saying, which applies especially to the second half of verse 8, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, but therefore also to the rest of chapter 3 thus far, and indeed the whole book thus far, that this is the difference that Christ makes in the believer's life. This is one of in the believer's life right now, and increasingly so throughout this life. The work of sanctification by his Spirit who applies to us our union with him. And so each of us should know ourselves to have been, apart from Christ, hopeless sinners. And that the only way that we could come to be in Christ was by the power and mercy of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that the difference this should make in our lives then is that we would be careful to maintain good works. And if we're not, then we should come back to Titus 3 and meditate upon it. Am I thinking rightly about what I was apart from Christ? Am I thinking rightly about God, my Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Am I thinking rightly about the difference that Christ makes in my life? Ought not I desire not these various lusts and pleasures, back from verse 3, but rather that the greatness of my Savior would be shown in the difference that he makes in my life? May the Lord give us to make good use then of this portion of his word, especially when we are not being careful to maintain good works. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for giving yourself to us and for us in your Son, our Lord Jesus, who is Savior together with you and with the Spirit. And we thank you for the work of the Spirit who makes us new and gives us life from Christ, washes us clean in Christ. We pray that his work might continue, giving us the zeal of Christ and the godly character of Christ more and more. And help us, O Lord, when our living for you slags, that we would remember who we were apart from you and how kind and how merciful and how faithful and how powerful you have been as our Savior. And grant that by your Spirit's making us to meditate upon your word, you would work out more of the life of Christ in us, we ask in his name. Amen.